And welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Folt. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from the beautiful left coast of Canada, Vancouver, British Columbia, is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folt. Mickey, how are you?
Well, I'm doing quite well, Rob, but I will challenge you if it's very beautiful in Vancouver. If you like 50 Shades of Grey in the wintertime, then I guess it's beautiful. The sun never shines here in the winter, or seldom, and I much prefer when it is the most beautiful city in the world in the summertime.
Yes, indeed. It is hard to beat when the sun is shining in Vancouver. We are shining our spotlight for this edition of the program, Mickey, on the performance of commodities, the commodities world in 2019. And let's look back and begin with the precious metals sector. We saw gold today settling above $1,500 an ounce, closing really at its highest level since the end of October. So a nice way to kind of wrap up the year for bullion.
Yeah, well, that's expected. This is the season that gold generally goes on a very nice run. Mm-hmm. So it's up 18% on the year, and we expect it to be strong through the end of February.
Okay, silver up 16% as well. Is that a seasonal trade, Mickey, in terms of the performance in silver, or is there a bit of a difference there in terms of what's behind those gains?
It's just tracking gold, okay, as it most often does, Rob.
Okay. The real star, though, is palladium, isn't it? I think probably in the entire metal space. What do we have it up about 50% for the year?
Well, close to it. I have it at 49% with today's close at 1883. And it's basically gone exponential, and it's trading right now just a little bit below the all-time high of gold. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, it hit $1,960 one day. So there's fundamental reasons why it's gone on a run, but which is a supply deficit, and it's a byproduct of platinum mining. So platinum has not done until recently particularly well. So the platinum miners in South Africa are not producing much platinum, and therefore there's not enough palladium to go around. So Okay. It is the big story of the year.
Okay, so it's really a supply crunch right now. That's the main driver for palladium's big rocket ride higher, is it?
Absolutely. Is the fundamental reason, but I will challenge anybody who says that's the main reason. It's speculation in the futures and options market that's driving this exponential rise, and at some point it will go parabolic. I'm not going to tell you when that's going to happen, but mark my words.
Okay, and I think platinum was up about 18% or so this year, so not a
yeah,
bad performance.
Yeah, it was. Had nice run, went from 797. Closed today at 948. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that run up has been actually in the last couple of weeks. Platinum's kind of caught up a bit to palladium from about the end of the first week of December, and it's kind of been up and down since then, but a nice finish for platinum on the year.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, Mickey, and when we come back, we're going to run down the year in some of the major base metals and kick it off with Dr. Copper, okay?
Okay, Rob.
He travels the globe in search of resource opportunities, and he's an in-demand speaker at investment conferences all around the world. To keep up with Mickey Folt, also known as the Mercenary Geologist, sign up to follow him on Twitter at Mercenary Geo. You'll receive daily alerts on commodity prices, geological events, industry developments, and expert analysis directly from the field. Our 52,000 followers can't be wrong, so please join our growing Twitter crowd today at Mercenary Geo. And we're back with Mercenary Geologist Mickey Folt. Mickey, we are recapping the year in commodities, taking a look at base metals. Let's talk Dr. Copper, the metal seen by many as a bellwether for the world economy. How do you summarize the year for copper? Not a lot of upward movement. It did finish a bit higher, but not by much.
Well, it's been beaten down by the trade wars between the U.S. and China. It actually hit a high back in the winter, February to maybe April, mm-hmm. was well above 290. I think it hit a high of 297. The supply-demand fundamentals remain very strong. There's been supply disruption in Chile, the world's largest producer. But in my opinion, the price has been artificially knocked down a bit or suppressed by all this trade tariff stuff that's been going on.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned supply disruptions. I'm wondering, that could be a big story for next year too, could it not? I read today that J.P. Morgan is talking about 16 labor contract negotiations coming up involving 13 mines in Chile next year. So that's going to be a topic to keep an eye on, isn't it?
Well, it certainly is. And with copper closing the year at 281 for a 6% gain, it's just a matter of time before the supply-demand fundamentals take hold here. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that has to do with, number one, this signing of this Phase 1 deal with China. The copper market should react strongly to that.
Okay, a relatively flat year for aluminum. What was the story there, Mickey?
Well, once again, it's the trade tariffs and tariffs on Chinese aluminum and steel. So down 6% on the year. The entire base metal complex, with the exception of one commodity, did not perform well. Zinc down 7%, mm-hmm. lead down 2%. Big winner on the year was nickel, up a whopping 34% on the year. Started the year at 481, closed the year at 645. But bear in mind too, Rob, that at one point it touched $8.20. This was because of artificial constraints put on the market with Indonesia banning once again concentrates from leaving that group of islands needed to be smelted there. Well, they don't have the smelting capabilities. And also there was geopolitical difficulties in the Philippines with the president of the Philippines shut down all mines, and mm-hmm. Philippines produce a significant amount of nickel from laterite deposits. So those were geopolitical reasons that nickel had a very good year.
Yeah.
Personally, I don't think it's now the price now at 645 could be sustainable, mm-hmm. but I don't think we're going to see that sort of run up in nickel going forward.
Okay, and that big burst higher, and I think at its height, Mickey, it was up about 70% on the year, in referring to the price that you had mentioned earlier. That was largely driven, like you said, by that export ban by Indonesia, but then it just quickly reversed course when that ban was reversed, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
That's what happens when geopolitics gets in the way of supply-demand fundamentals, Rob.
Okay. And Mickey, you mentioned zinc and lead finishing lower for the year. It was also a lower year for uranium. Uranium's always got an interesting story, though, doesn't it?
Well, it did, and really it was no news this year. So it started the year at 2970, and it finished the year at 2513 for a loss of 12%. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that the Trump administration did this what the Section 232 National Security Concern report took 9 months to get that out, and then they had 3 months to make the recommendations. Well, we're now into 6 months, and the Trump administration has really made no recommendations and taken no actions. So because of that, uranium market's just been in limbo, mm-hmm. and until we get some concrete actions by the Trump administration, which we anticipate will be some sort of support for domestic uranium mining, I think it's going to kind of muddle about again.
Moving on to the energy market, Mickey, 32% gain for the price of oil finishing today at the time of this recording, $61.68 a barrel. And I believe that's the highest price for WTI since mid-September.
Well, I'll defer to you for that stat, but mm-hmm. certainly oil did quite well this year. Started the year at $45.40, and so it's up 36% on the year on strong fundamentals, and the OPEC has cut back production, and the U.S. continues to gain in production over 1 million barrels this year. We're now up to 12.8, 12.9 million barrels a day, and the U.S. shale patch just keeps rolling along. Unfortunately, when you produce shale oil, you produce a lot of natural gas, and and we're saddled with a glut of gas, and we're now in about an 11-year bear market for nat gas in the United States. Started the year at $2.94, closed the year today, or we're not quite at the end of the year, but at $2.17 for a whopping 26% loss. Yeah. And that's the worst by far on anything on our board this year.
And the natural gas price, Mickey, is not going to get any help from the weatherman up here, because as we head into the weekend in Toronto, we're going to be up around 10, 11 degrees Celsius. Incredible.
Well, yeah, and so really, Rob, your point's well taken. That's the reason that we've seen this crash in natural gas prices. I mean, two or three weeks ago, we were looking at a gas price of about $2.35. And so until the only thing, if you're long the gas market, you better be hoping for one of those Arctic vortexes to come sweeping in here in the next couple of weeks, or you're going to be in a world of hurt.
Okay, well, that vortex can stay right where it is as far as I'm concerned.
Well, obviously, you're not long on gas.
Not long on gas.
Maybe you're short on gas.
I will not reveal my hand, sir. Let's take a quick break here, Mickey, because we're going to wrap it up with how the stock markets have performed this year. And boy, oh boy, it's been quite a year since we've seen a performance like this. So we'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Mercenary Musings Radio provides you with insight into commodities, exploration, and mining investment. But did you know we can deliver a whole lot more and it won't cost you a penny? Sign up for free to Mickey Fulp's newsletter, and you'll gain exclusive access to his stock picks via his timely alerts. You'll also get thought-provoking commentary in Mickey's Mercenary Musings, weekly notification of interviews, videos, and special invitations to his speaking engagements. Become a more successful investor by signing up today at mercenarygeologist.com. Okay, we're back with the Mercenary Geologist, and Mickey, wrapping up the year. Boy, oh boy, those stock markets, absolutely incredible performance. Remember when Donald Trump was elected president and everybody was saying, hang on to your hats, folks, because the stock market's going to hell in a handbasket, and has just done the opposite. And this year has been incredible, hasn't it?
Well, Rob, don't say everybody, because I didn't say that. I thought he was going to be good for the market, because he's a New Yorker and he's a Wall Street guy. So regardless, the Dow was up well over 10,000 points since Trump was elected, and the returns this year have been nothing short of astounding. The Dow's up 23%, S&P 500 up 29%, NASDAQ up 36%. All those markets set all-time highs nearly every day for the last couple of weeks. They're just on a roll. Mm-hmm. Toronto Stock Exchange actually tracked the Dow pretty well this year. It was up 20%, which is a very nice return. Let's go back to the American markets. Mm-hmm. Small caps, Russell 2000, to show how broad-based this rally is, up 24% on the year. The only world markets of any significance that did not return, this is, you know, the rest of the world's been following. Bourses have been following the U.S. lead. The emerging large cap emerging market index was a laggard this year, but Rob, it was up 12%. So
yeah,
nobody's going to complain about that. And I hate to end on a sour note, but
well, I know where this is going.
You know what's coming, Rob.
Yep.
The Toronto Venture Exchange, as of today, now admittedly we have three more days this year, and this is a seasonal time for a rise in the venture exchange, but it opened the year at 557, and it closed today or yesterday because you have Boxing Day. I keep forgetting.
That's right, yep.
Today is a holiday in Canada, Boxing Day. Closed at 5:56 for a 1-point loss on the air, 0%.
Who would have thought that at the start of the year? I mean,
well, I mean, didn't quite know. I think if you had told anybody that gold would be over $1,500 by the end of the year, they would have expected the Venture Exchange to be roaring all year long up a significant amount. But there is just absolutely no interest in the junior resource sector. Volumes were low all year long. Volatility was low all year long. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it's going to take to make this market come back. I'm increasingly pessimistic about it, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what, Mickey? People are going, why do I have to take a roll of the dice with the Venture Exchange when I got 24% or 29% from the S&P 500? You buy an index fund. Not suggesting that not necessarily that's the way to go, but a lot of people do it. And look at the gain they've got.
So, well, and your point's well taken there. Once again, my retirement account is all major market indices, yep. and I outperformed the S&P 500 the way I'm positioned every year because I get dividends.
Yep.
So on top of the market returns, I get dividends on the top of that. But generally in the past, Rob, what we have found time after time after time when the major U.S. markets are on a roll like this, and this isn't the first time, mm-hmm. We get the trickle-down effect, and people tend to want to take more risk, and they've got mm-hmm. all these profits and discretionary income, and they come flying into our market.
Right.
And this time they haven't, and something's got to change for them to come back to our market. I absolutely don't have any answers at this point.
Well, we'll see if 2020 brings about that change. Nice way to wrap it up, Mickey. Let's reconnect in about a month's time, of course. And all the best, my friend, for 2020. Hope you have a great new year.
Well, the same to you, Rob. And we are soon approaching our 10th anniversary of this show. And I think if memory serves, the next show we do will be our show of turn 10 years old.
Okay. Well, you know what? We'll put our heads together and have a surprise for our listeners, okay? We'll come up with something. Okay.
Absolutely, Rob. Thanks a lot.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion on kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.